As I walked through the wilderness of the world, I lighted upon a certain place where was a den. And so begins what? Molly. You are right. Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan's most well-known, celebrated book. Where did he begin it? Where was he, Timothy?
Prison.
He was in prison, Bedford Jail, when he started it. Though he finished it outside of jail, and it was published then, some years after he left jail. But it became something that so summed up the experience of people become Christians, are then on pilgrimage as Christians, the ups and the downs. But of course, it begins, well, it begins in an unconverted state. Christian in an unconverted state. Now, just to go back a while, the wilderness of the world. What a description. Wilderness. It's what it is. It's not friendly to us. Not friendly. The psalm we read there tells us the enemies, falsehood, lying words, enmity, persecution. And John Bunyan knew a fair bit about that, didn't he? What do you think that den is that he came across, lighted upon, came across? A den. What was his den? Any ideas? Any ideas? No ideas. I'll tell you. Prison. That's what it was to him. His den. A prison. And so, in a sense, that's where he was. And in that den, he dreamed a dream. And in that dream, he saw a man in rags and on his back a burden. Right? A burden. And this man was distraught. In tears. Looking around, he had a book in his hand. And the book would be... The book would be what? What do you think that book is that was in his hand, James?
Bible.
The Bible, isn't it? It's the Bible. He's reading in this book. And he's reading about what is going to happen to the city where he is living. It's destined to be destroyed. And he, destined to be judged. And the burden on his back is going to weigh him down and carry him down to hell. And he's thinking on this. And he's distraught. He is in agony. He's looking this way and he's looking that way. He is in huge, huge sense of grief. What do we call this state in the Bible, from the Bible? What do we call it when a person is in this state? We say they're under something, Molly. Under conviction. They're under conviction of sin. Convinced of their sin. It's happening now. They're seeing themselves as they really are. They haven't seen it before. Now they do. There he is. And first of all, you see, he's got a family, got a wife, got children. And he tries to hide it from them at first, but there's just no getting away from it. And first of all, they say, go to bed. That's the best answer for all of this concern that you've got. A good night's sleep, you'll be sorted. No more trouble for you, I'm sure. So they send him to bed. Nope, nope, in bed, he's just as much in agony. And the next day, there he is. Oh, they say to him, oh, they start saying, well, I think you're being foolish here. You're being foolish. And they kind of mock him a bit. Oh, snap out of it, you know. And they're a bit kind of unfeeling towards him. Because they just don't understand these things. They just didn't get it. And then his neighbours, well, looking, he's just being so foolish about this. And they mocked him, and they ridiculed him, and they tried to get him out of this frame of mind. That's what people do, isn't it? That's what they do. I don't know whether you've been in that state in that way, or at least something of it. But you may find your parents won't say snap out of it. They'll be glad, they'll be praying for you, that it comes to a happy ending, and that you find the Lord. But others would not understand it at all. Because today, you mustn't think negatively, must you? What must you think? What's the opposite of thinking negatively? James? positively. Think well of yourself, you know. Everything's going to be fine. Dream a great ending there. You can believe, you know, and you can do it all. Don't be in any kind of destructive or sad state of affairs. Sometimes it can go too far, and sometimes it's other reasons for it. But sometimes there it is. It's a spiritual reason. You are under conviction of sin. Of course, John Bunyan was, wasn't he? And he looked back on that in Grace Abounding and thought, oh, yes, that was me in that particular state there. And great sense of my own need, judgment to come. And there he is now, in the person of Christian. We learn soon in the story, his name is Christian. He's got this book open and it's telling him all of these things. And he just does not know what to do. And he looks this way and he looks that way, because there's a big field you see ahead of him. He just looks this way and he looks that way, and he just does not know which way to go. Well then, somebody comes alongside him, and his name is Evangelist. Evangelist. He comes and finds him, and he wants to know what's happening. And so Christian explains, and Evangelist gives him a scroll. I had a scroll that you kind of open up there with all writing on it. And it says, flee from the wrath to come. See, it's telling Christian, you need to be on the way. You need to leave this city of destruction. It is going to be judged. You're going to be judged. And your sin is going to be the thing there that casts you away. So he reads this and he wants to know, well, what do I do then? Where do I go? And so Evangelist points across the field. There's a gate, he says, a wicket gate. Gate over there that you can go through. Can you see it? He's looking and he can't see it. So Evangelist says, but there's a light. Do you see a light above it? Christian says, I think I see that. And so Evangelist points him that way. That's where you've got to go. And so he begins to go. Oh, his family won't have this. And their wife and children running out. Don't go. Stop. And he's running now. And he's got his fingers in his ears. So he can't hear what they're saying. Life, life, eternal life, he's shouting as he goes. His family are trying to stop him. No, you fool. They're intimidating him and threatening him and then pleading with him, trying everything there to stop him going. The world doesn't like it, doesn't like people getting serious about Christianity, serious about God. Or you can have a kind of, I don't know, trivial, stupid sort of idea about God. They're fine with that. That's okay. You can have that there. That doesn't threaten anybody. That's not challenging anybody. We don't feel kind of, oh dear, this judgment and eternity, this is really threatening to us. No, as long as you just kind of go along with a kind of loose, weak sort of idea about God, that's absolutely fine. But become serious about it, they don't like it. I mean, it challenges them. And so they get a bit sort of worked up about that, and they try different ways to try and stop you following the Lord. But Evangelists wouldn't hear it, and the whole town are kind of coming out, come back, say his neighbours, stop, stop. But he won't, and he's running now. Anyway, two people see him running and decide they're going to go as well and try and persuade him to come back. They think, we can do this. We'll match. You watch. One is called Obstinate and the other is called Pliable. Pliable. What does obstinate mean? Somebody is obstinate. Timothy.
Refuses to give in.
Refuses to give in, you know. I'm not going to do that. That's an obstinate person. Well, I hope you're not obstinate like that anyway. You know. No, not going to do it. Not going to hear that. So that's one of them. And pliable. What's a pliable person, Molly?
Sort of like he agrees with the person
that goes. That's right. That's it. Bends, pliable, goes this way, goes that way, okay? Not sort of fixed kind of view on things. So these two are going to try and persuade Christian to come back to the city. And there they are. And they try to talk to him and find out what's going on with you. And really, you know, do you need to be doing this? And Pliable is beginning to sound a bit sort of interested in it. And he wants, that's interesting what you're doing here. And he's thinking of this. And then he says, I think I might go on a bit further with him. And he might have a point here. Well, Obstinate won't hear this at all. No, oh, we're going that way too. You're weak in the head just as he basically says. And at that point, Obstinate has had enough. He turns around and goes back. Obstinacy, you know, there's that, isn't there, which kind of gets in the way if we're seeking the Lord. I'll say, no, don't do this. No, don't do this. Tries to sort of hold on to you and stop you going in that direction. Well, anyway, Christian has seen obstinacy off. He's not there arguing anymore. But Pliable is still there. And then, you know, he's running along. And he's wanting to know, well, where are we going? Christian describes heaven, what it's going to be like. Crowns that we're going to have and robes, and we're going to be with all the wonderful angels that are there. And it's excellent, and it's going to be just beyond anything we can imagine. That's what he's sort of describing there to Pliable. Do you think Pliable likes the sound of that? What do you think? Does he like the sound of that? What do you think? No, that sounds awful, does he say. What does he think? Yes, I'll supply the answer there. Yes. Oh, that sounds really good. Oh, I like the sound. And we're going to have that, are we? And golden crowns and the wonder of it and holiness. Oh, I like the sound of that, he's saying. And so he's running along. Oh, he says, can't we go a bit faster? And so, you know, Christian, well, I've got this burden here. Well, anyway, try and run a bit faster. But they're not looking where they're going. They're not looking where they're running. You know, we might not look where we're running, right? We are curbstone, whoop, we're over, crunch, we land flat on our faces there. And they're not looking, and they've gone into a swampy bog. They've gone into a bog. And they're, ooh, this isn't good going at all, wouldn't it? Would it? If you've gone into a bog, you know, sort of up to your knees in it there, and you can't move very fast. And of course, Christian has got this great big burden on his back. And that's weighing him down, and he's going deeper and deeper into this swamp. And it's called the Slough of Despond. The Slough of Despond. A slough, a muddy, messy, bog-like thing. And you've gone down into that. And Despond? What's a despondent person about? Timothy, go on, miserable. Oh, you're depressed and low, and you're feeling miserable. And that's the effect of this. And they've gone down into this. Oh, Pliable says, is this going to happen to us? I thought it was all going to be happy. I thought this Christian thing was all going to be great and enjoyable. You didn't tell me about this. So what does Pliable do? What does he do, do you think? What does he do, Grace? He turns back, doesn't he? He clambers out of the Slough of Despond. I've had enough of this. I'm going back to the city. That can happen, can't it? When we're seeking God and we're looking for conversion and we get put off. Things try to put us off and we're getting discouragements. And we're finding this is hard going. And there are trials in all of this. And this isn't as comfortable and easy as I thought this is. So the lesson just there, and I'm going to finish with this, is if you're seeking the Lord, no, don't expect it just to be easy. You're going to find discouragements. The devil's going to see to that. You're going to find discouragements. They're going to find difficulties. And you're going to find that there are ways in which you can feel quite low. Well, I thought this was going to be straightforward. You know, the seed on the ground and that which is in the rocky place, and there's not enough root for it to get there, and tribulation, persecution comes in, withers and dies. There's no root there. And sometimes we can be sort of like that in a way, and we're put off by a bit of trouble, or the thought of discouragements on the way. Slough of despond. So pliable, because he's like that, isn't he? He bends this way, he bends. He's not really fixed in his view. He'll change his mind quite easily. Don't you? Don't change your mind. Bit of difficulty along the way. No, don't change your mind. That's going to happen. John Bunyan knew what he was writing about. He was telling us about his own heart here, describing himself here, and showing us all, look, this is what it can be like. And Christians have, in any way there, that have got into that way, entered there by the narrow gate, they'll say yes. That's what it's been like. There's been that kind of experience before I was a Christian, indeed, after becoming a Christian. Don't you feel discouraged if you end up for a while in the slough of despond. But today, we'll have to leave Christian in there and find out next week, God willing, how things go for him after that. Our next hymn then, 268, at the name of Jesus, 268.